10:15 a.m. on Tuesday, May 24, 2022, and this is the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority meeting. I call to order. Okay, let's just on item B, which is opening remarks. Let me just start with you know, we've had a real productive month, or a quarter, or whatever you want to call it, getting ready to launch into summer. I'm happy to report that Project 11 is progressing very well, and it's currently on schedule and on budget, which is both two important things. So far, four contracts are in construction, and three will be completed soon. The Corps of Engineers Oyster Mitigation Project, which is building 45 acres of new oyster reefs in Galveston Bay, is 90% complete. That was one of the first ones we started. Our Beltway 8 land clearing project, which will be used for one-time dredge placement and then be made available for development into a new maritime facility, is 95% complete. Our abandoned pipeline removal contract, which is removing up to four abandoned pipelines in Galveston Bay, is 75% complete. And the fourth contract, the dredging of segment 1A from Bolivar Road's Redfish, will be complete by this coming winter. We are preparing to award the next large contract for segment 1B and 2 at a June commission meeting, and I might note that we might have to have a special meeting for that, depending upon when everything is complete. So just put that on your radar screen, commissioners. I'd like to thank the companies that have submitted proposals for this very large segment of Project 11 as we push forward with a rapid delivery of this critical development. When we talk about rapid delivery, I want to thank all of our partners in getting the project moved forward. As we previously reported, Project 11 is fully funded through Segment 3. The Port Authority and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers have the funds to get us all the way through through Segment 3, and we're really excited about that. I do want to thank all the industry participation that we have in moving this project forward. You know, at the end of the day, we had to accelerate this project because we know the critical nature of it. The investment is going to pay dividends to all channel users in the form of increased safety, environmental improvements, and efficient traffic transit through the nation's busiest and most important waterway, and we know that's a really important part of the equation. In terms of a couple other items I want to hit, yesterday we had our final PCCAC meeting, which is the Port Commission's Community Advisory Council. And unfortunately, we met virtually for 2 years and never in person, which was kind of sad. We may have to, Roger, have an event for that group and then and the incoming group, because yep. We will be reformulating that group. And I know some commissioners have added names to that group, and it's really important because it's a group where we get great community feedback coming our way, but we also get great community feedback going to them, because obviously it's really important given Project 11 and everything that goes on with the port that we're in touch with what's going on in the individual communities. I think that group is really good at that. So just in closing and my remarks, I just want to thank everyone at Port Houston. Our teams are just, you know, really doing well given the supply chain issues and the extra work that everybody's having to do, from the ILA to the seafarers to the pilots. Thank you so much for everything you're doing at the pilots and Coast Guard. And it's just an amazing team effort that every day when I look at numbers and see how much work is going through the port, it's just incredible. And it really takes a great team and a great, you know, coordination for all the different partners at the port. So I want to thank everyone who's making that happen. So with that,
Mr. Chair, can I?
Yes, go ahead. Absolutely.
This is based on something that I haven't really pondered. So the companies that are bidding on the next phase of the dredging, in light of the retrofit that we paid for on the air quality of the dredges, is that figuring in? How do we figure that into the next round of dredging? In other words, are we going to, if they roll in and they're the low bidder or the successful bidder and they have old dredges, what are we going to, how are we going to approach that, or is that our part of the bid package required?
We You know, the proposals we received and the evaluation of those proposals take into account a consideration for all those factors.
I just didn't want us to have another delay in expense and helping retrofit.
Yeah, so those are proposals that, you know, I really can't talk much about that until we do, but to answer your question, we're accounting and evaluating all of those factors into any decision that we recommend to the commission.
In addition to small business and participation,
sure.
All the sort of the whole range of the items out there that are important to the port,
yep,
are in there, including environmental, including MWB, including SBE, all those kind of issues, for sure.
I'll say a few words.
Sure.
When I heard that Roger got the maritime,
well, you're stealing my thunder. I was going to
say, go ahead. I just want to say a few personal.
Let me make sure everybody understands. Last week, Roger was in New York with a number of our commissioners and others from the port. He made it a business trip, but whenever the Maritime Association, the Port of New York and New Jersey, when they, in fact, on their 28th International Maritime Hall of Fame Award, inducted Roger Gunther from Port Houston into that Hall of Fame, that's something. Okay?
You're right. And when I heard that they were doing it, I had to go, and not at port expense.
Right.
The port didn't pay a penny for me to go up there, but it was important for me because I cut my teeth in the port guard. I trained up there, and I learned more in 6 months working out of the Brooklyn headquarters than I did in my whole educational career. I've worked around giants, not only in our union, but in the industry. And you learn real quick when you go to New York, you're playing in the big leagues, you better play your A game. And they always kind of look down on us as the little brother, and they respected us, but they didn't think we were really up to their standards. But now we are. We're on Broadway, Roger. You heard that. I made the rounds at the reception. I saw people I hadn't seen in years, industry, labor folks, and the common thread was respect for the Port of Houston. And it wasn't just respect for Roger, which it was, but it was for the people sitting at this table. Mr. Chairman, commissioners, Eric, Tom, Kenny, they respect us. All the port employees, everybody that works on the waterfront, the pilots, everybody. Nothing but respect. I was so proud to go up there. And because, I know what it means to be honored by that port, and Clyde does too. And Clyde did an outstanding job of introducing Roger. And Roger gave the greatest remarks. I told him I was disappointed that you didn't tell everybody your daughter won the pig contest at Rodeo. But it was a great event. I'm honored to be there. And I think it was just a good example of what we do down here. I think we're misunderstood here. And what we really do is you've got industry and government, you've got business and labor, Democrats and Republicans, all working together for the common good, and that's what we do here, and that's why we are a success. So God bless you, Roger.
Thank you.
I got total respect for you, and I was so proud to be here.
Well, I appreciate you being there.
Mr. Chairman, I think y'all said enough about Roger. But, but let me tell you the most important thing. I sat at the table with Roger, and we must have had 15 big steamship lines,
yes,
sitting at the two port tables. Am I right?
Yeah.
And every single one of them at some point said to me, man, we're waiting for y'all to dredge that channel.
Mm-hmm.
They said the plans for Houston, nobody can believe them. Nobody can believe what's fixing to happen potentially in this port. And they said there's two things we need y'all to do, and that's widen that channel and get your infrastructure lined out, because we're going to bring it as soon as you say we can. And that, to me, that was exciting. Mm-hmm. And I can assure you Houston is on the map. Thank you.
Great. Any other comments, commissioners?
great honor.
Yeah, can you go ahead, Roger?
Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
And I appreciate it. You don't know how much it meant for Dean to be there, and Clyde, you know, Rick, Clyde, I told him I know Clyde longer than anybody in that room, including my family. But but you know, I made it a point, and it's true. Hey, it's not about me; it's about us. You know, the commission trusting in me and us back, you know, 8 years ago. But also, the investment, all those people that Clyde was talking about sitting around the room, the investment that they even made in me and our staff and helping us grow to do what we can do, I think is very important. But the biggest point, I think, is, we don't achieve this success alone. Clyde mentioned all the great things that have happened under my tenure, which they had. And my point was, hey, I don't know how much I had to do with all those, but one thing I'm certain of, that they did happen, and they happened because of the people that work for the port, and I'm very appreciative, and that's how we got recognized in New York. So thank you very much.
Okay, any other matters that we want to talk about in this section? Okay, if not, let's move to the approval of the minutes of the Port Commission public meeting on April 20th.
I'll move.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, Roger, you're up again.
Yeah, and no disrespect, Commissioner Don Carlos, the honor that I got from being a Baytown school district guy was the biggest honor I got.
Close second.
Still a very big honor, so appreciate that. I'll be brief. Busy agenda today. Operational highlights, I'm going to defer most of those and let Jeff drill down some, a lot of important things that are going on. But the business continues to be strong. Container volumes up 21% for the year. Overall tonnage is up 23% across the port. And I've been talking about, Clyde mentioned it, talking to our industry partners about the trend in the short term, especially for containers, where it's going to continue to grow well through this year. The demand is phenomenal. It's going to stay that way. Steel imports and the general cargo facility are moving across at a rapid pace as well. The tonnage is twice as much year to date this year than it is than it was last year and even in 2020. So it's just outstanding across the board. People working really hard to make it happen. I do want to make a note of one achievement that needs attention, and it was we worked our largest volume container ship in our history at Bayport 2 weeks ago. Bumping up 8,000 moves, just shy of 8,000 moves on one ship that's, you know, either coming off or on a vessel at 35 moves per hour per crane, which was very efficient. And it's very significant for what you've been talking about, Chairman and Clyde, that this large vessel shines the light of what we expect to see here, and there's more to come. As the channel gets bigger, these ships are going to continue to get bigger. So we're prioritizing our investments to maintain this capacity as we move forward. And, you know, today there's $30 million in awards to support these priorities on the agenda just today. So thanks for that, the time, but I appreciate what everybody's doing to make this happen. And I'm going to flip it over to Tom real quick. He wanted to talk a little bit about the updated CIP for 2022.
I put the list in each of your files. This is what we're going to start tracking. If you recall, the budget that is approved in November gives an overall total for our capital projects. Those are all done in August and September, so we have changes by the time we get to January in terms of timing. So this is where we are moving forward with all the projects that are more than $2 million, just to give you an idea. This is when they will come to you for approval. We will start a report next year with the completion date, so we can start tracking that as well. But obviously, if you tell us we can buy cranes next month, we're not going to have those before the end of this year anyway. So we will start that second report next year. So you can see, but right back to what Clyde and Roger and the chairman just said, next month in June, we have $109 million coming towards you for both cranes at Barber's Cut and at Bayport. So that's the next infrastructure, Wharf 6 cranes and things like that. Wharf 1 and 2 cranes at Bayport. But we just wanted to give you this list. This is what the staff has sat down, gone through, figured out what can be done in the time that we have. And so we will be reporting against this as we move forward. So if we have any slippage, we'll let you know, and we'll have the explanation of why.
Mr. Chairman, can I have a moment?
Sure.
Of course, the city of Pasadena doesn't come close to comparing with New York City. However, they have, Chamber has nominated and elected the Port of Houston as the business of the year, where they give away every year one of the businesses up and down the channel. It doesn't come as close as the Baytown deal.
You're in third place.
And it is elected as the Port of Houston. I mean, it's outstanding business of the year.
And there's a
banquet
next Thursday.
You're all invited to it.
So anyway, I think we've resent out that invite in case you're interested. So,
I'll just open up if there's any questions on what is here, or if you want to call me after the fact, that's fine as well. If you see any changes you would like to see on this, that's fine as well.
So, Tom, relative to the discussion of ongoing projects, these are new projects that you're going to award, right?
Right.
What about the on-time, on-budget schedule that for all existing projects that are going beyond these, right? Are we doing a separate report on that?
We're working on trying to get all of those done. We wanted to make sure we got the going forward correct before we move that. So that's why we did this one.
Okay.
We'll have a report with the projects that are ongoing right now.
And when are we going to have that?
Next month. Next
okay,
month.
Great.
So, Mr. Chairman, yes. I was going to ask Jeff these questions when he gave his report, but I'll ask them now. So, we just got our three latest cranes, right? How many do we have ordered as of today? How many more? Any or none?
We're about to place an order for well, we have the three ordered now. They're being fabricated as we speak.
Okay.
We could arrive in early second quarter of next year. We're talking about that goes in Dock 6 at
Dock 6 at Bayport.
And then on the heels of that. And we have three that are being already advertised for their view on June the 22nd for three additional.
Okay.
Worth 6 and worth 2 of 8.
So those three are to make sure that we have three large ships first at Bayport to facilitate post Project 11. Once it's complete, we can facilitate $315 TEU shipments.
Okay.
And what's the length and girth of those ships? Are those two? What are the 1200 ships?
Ships are 1200 by 168, and that's what Project 11 was to facilitate without restriction, like Sam Thompson. So,
I was going to ask him that.
That's what we're going to facilitate.
How many TEUs on the ship?
15,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
After your two public meetings and vote, then you're probably good, right?
Should be.
Yeah. Right. That's a discussion that we need to have with the state of Texas in the future as well, in terms of making sure that we streamline that process. Mm-hmm. And we'll be having discussions with industry, probably not at this legislative session, but probably the next one.
So getting back to my question, are we planning or do we have any plans or rationale for new cranes at Bayport, or is everything just at Barber's Cut?
No, I meant to say
Barber's Cut. I guess. Are we buying additional cranes at Barber's Cut?
Barber's Cut has a plan to redo 2,600 foot of dock, and as we do those docks, cranes will fall into them, and that 2,600 is supposed to be complete within 5 years. So there will be subsequent crane purchases to match those first as we do them. We just finished Dock 3. We transferred the three cranes from Bayport to Dock 3. And then we'll do the balance of the dock, 4, 5, and 6. And we'll outfit those docks with the appropriate cranes.
Okay. And RTGs, we're staying pretty well ahead, right?
We got to present. Next one.
Yeah, the RTG is going to do also the return back to on the street.
26? Yeah, good. Okay.
14 for Walker Scott and 12 for Bayport. The full of the year on June 25th.
That is a significant number. We have 116 as a base today. I had 26. That's a significant number. That's a large purchase we've ever made by far.
Yeah, okay.
But it's a simple most of business that we're facilitating now.
It is the ultimate plan for our Barber's Cut to be able to handle as big a ships as Bayport?
It is.
Yes. Okay.
It is.
I had a question.
Yes, go ahead.
The ship that you spoke of, Roger, where was it, the vessel, the large vessel, where was it from?
It was at Bayport, but what service was it?
Yes.
Well, I don't remember. It was ended. It's from through.
I'm sorry, it was an extra load. I take that back. So it came and brought imports from Asia, from past MSD.
Through the canal.
Through the canal. It was back.
Yeah.
And what size was that ship?
It was an 8500. It's pretty much the biggest ship we could see.
Which is 11. What's
under, it? Under 1100, that ship is.
Yeah.
1096 ish. Off the top of my head.
And we had the larger ships that the pilots approved here a while back. The 11, what is 11? What's your total?
1120.
Yeah.
1120,
I think 1105. Yeah, it's over 1100, but not to 1120.
Well, we've had a couple.
Yeah, we've had a couple.
I got you.
Then, okay. Follow up question with COVID, and I read that ports being closed the last several weeks in China. Is that impacting us?
It will, you know, and while we were in New York, we took the opportunity for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, John Mosley and I met with all of our, you know, the top people of our container carriers, and that was kind of the message that, you know, two things, that containers are dwelling too long for them and us on our terminal, and also that you know, this China's been closed, factory's been closed. That's why we're going to see continued demand, a peak demand across the United States the rest of this year is what they're talking about.
You usually get like a V-shaped pattern, right? Things drop off for 30 days while Port of Shanghai is closed, and then there's a surge, right? So we usually see that 4 to 6 weeks later.
And it's going to be consistent with what we see toward July, August, September, every year, a peak season for getting for Christmas demand to get all these goods in by Black Friday.
Yeah.
So
I just thought with interest rates going up that you just don't end up with a bunch of inventory. You know, that businesses don't end up with a bunch of inventory.
Well, that's always a concern. You know, they're trying to catch up on inventory. They call it not just in time anymore, just in case. So that's kind of been, you know, driving a lot of the demand as well. So could be.
Well, if you look at what happened with Target's earnings, right? So Target missed, they hit their top line, but they missed their expense number. And part of the equation was that they accepted inventory that was late, so like October inventory that came in, you know, obviously if you have Halloween costumes and they come in November, that's really good. There are Christmas ornaments that come in January, February, right? Evidently, Target took a lot of those, that inventory that is actually for next year, not this year, and their bottom line was really hurt. And a lot of retailers, even though they're selling a lot of products, getting the right inventory in right at the right time in the right place is a challenge, and that's a total function of, you know, this supply chain disruptions. Yeah. Okay, any other? You done, Tom?
Just if anybody's got any questions.
Any other questions? Okay. All right, let's move on to item E1, which is public comments. We have a couple folks on the list. O. Nasser from the Environmental Defense Fund, are you online? I see you there. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity to speak. I wanted to start off by sharing with folks that EDF worked in collaboration with port staff on the recently submitted mega grant. I understand that went out the door likely this week. I know Bridget Elmore has been working very hard on that with other staff. And we're grateful to be part of that collaboration. We were specifically working on, or we're excited to learn that there was a willingness to include a truck idling campaign in the grant application. And we're really hopeful that that program is funded and that what results are meaningful decreases to the impacts that truck idling has on local communities, and specifically those who are near the local intermodal facilities and warehouses. And we think that this program could make an important improvement towards the port's CASP goals. So thank you very much for that collaboration. Secondly, I'm really grateful for the questions that were happening just this morning in the introductory comments about ensuring that the cleanest equipment is used in the forthcoming segment of Project 11. We are continually concerned about the U.S. Army Corps' lack of engagement around the issue of dredging impacts from Project 11, specifically on those segments that they're going to be overseeing, 4, 5, and 6. We've already mentioned before in past public comment our concerns because of their proximity to local communities. And we've asked port staff to help us in getting a meeting with the Army Corps to attempt to have them make the same commitments that this body has made to use cleaner equipment for that project. But we actually also would like to request the commission to support us in the advocacy with the Army Corps to try to ensure that the cleanest equipment is used again in those later segments of the project. We believe by having your support that will add additional weight to the engagement that we have with them. And then finally, I just wanted to mention that we at EDF, we wholeheartedly support Port Houston in working towards meeting your your carbon neutrality goals. And we've observed at these meetings, including in today's agenda, that there are regular updates to lease agreements. And given the lack of regulatory mechanisms in Texas, we believe that lease agreements present a very meaningful opportunity to include requirements for your tenants for sustainable operations and cleaner technology. And so in future discussions about lease agreements, we urge the commission to consider inclusion of sustainability outcomes as part of these lease agreements as a critical way to realize improvements for greenhouse gas emissions. So with that, thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate the opportunity.
Great, thank you. And Roger, would you comment on the first part of the equation, the collaboration on the grant?
Yes, and Lou, thank you for that. We have our team has worked really hard. I think the deadline was yesterday.
Yes.
For a submission of projects, ideas for the mega grant. We did that in collaboration with a lot of folks in and out of area. The support for that is very we appreciate. And much of that is, about infrastructure development to capture growth, but along the lines of sustainability and social equity and those type of things. Rich, if I could you get up there and just briefly tell us kind of, describe some of the elements of this. And, this thing was just submitted, and we can circulate a little bit more detail to the commission soon. So, but it's something that we've been working really hard on to get out the
door. And just to clarify, the mega grant is part of the bipartisan infrastructure bill, correct?
Yep.
That the federal government is deciding which projects to fund, and out of that bill. So, it's really important, obviously, to put your shoulder to the wheel on getting lots of collaboration and making sure that we're, in the mix. Go ahead, Rich.
I'll just take 2 minutes or less. We've actually submitted 2 grants this month. On the 16th, we applied for a PIDP, the Port Infrastructure Development Grant, which we've won in the past, and that's to support building more yard at Bayport at the East End. The mega grant is much more of a transformational intent. The government is looking for programs that do provide benefits in supply chain resiliency, environmental quality, and social equity. So we've taken a big swing. We're making regional transformational program. We even gave it a name called Gulf Star, generating unparalleled leadership in freight for sustainable transportation and American resilience.
Impressive.
Sounds like a congressional thing.
Basically, what it means from an infrastructure standpoint is accelerating programs that we already had in our long-range plan. So things like inland terminal, things like a third terminal, things like expanding wharves at Bayport. But in addition, zero-emission truck programs, promoting that adoption by the trucking industry, as well as workforce development and business equity programs, scaling it up, per se, in association with the new technical skills that are going to be required with this new technology, whether it's battery or fuel cell or these types of things. It's a big swing. It's over $1 billion with a 60-40 match. So I've talked to Tim about whether we have our money, and we did. The only other thing I'd mention is it's a big program and it requires wide support. So we have 50 letters of support from every walk of life in the port ecosystem, including ELU and the EDF environmental advocates, but community advocates, as well as the ILA, the ocean carriers, the barge companies, trucking companies, NGOs, Greater Houston Partnership, Center for Houston's Future, University of Houston, and the mayors of Port Arthur and Boma and Houston, and other elected officials, including congresspeople.
So thank you, Rich. And the other thing, and a full summary is forthcoming of a high level of what that submission looks like that you'll get today. The other thing too, I believe, just yes or no, I think we have facilitated some meetings, facilitated, I think is the right word, with the Corps and the community recently. Is that correct? On the upcoming segments 5 and 6?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, we agree, and we want to make sure that the community is engaged together with the Corps of Engineers, and we've
so there was a town hall in Jacinta City, and it was, I think there was virtual at the last minute because
right.
I was there that week, but we brought the Corps in to answer questions. Clearly, not every question is answered to the degree of satisfaction that it needs to, so we will facilitate additional meetings. We had the Army Corps in this room yesterday for 3 hours in our quarterly executive meeting to talk about all things port and Corps relationships. And we mentioned this, and they're open to having additional meetings, and we just have to get to the calendaring of said meetings, and we're on top of that.
So thank you, Lou, and thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
Rich, just a quick word. I know the purpose of the meeting is to engage the Jacinta City, Galena Park, local governments, and I really encourage you to do that. I think all too often we don't realize the impact on infrastructure that the port has on those communities. Drive down Clinton Drive and see how your shocks hold up, type stuff. I really encourage us to do that. More business at the port does have an impact on those communities, and I hope that we are very cognizant of that fact and help them infrastructure-wise in maintaining their streets, because they do take a beating. I mean, there's an enormous amount of traffic in and out of the channel side communities, and I really hope that we make some allowance to help those communities with their infrastructure.
Yes, sir, and that is speaks to the core of our freight mobility program, working with the county and the city and HGAC and TxDOT to make sure that those roads which belong to them get advocated for funding that they need to do those repairs.
Any other questions, comments, commissioners? Okay, our next public comment speaker is Stephanie Thomas of the Public Citizen. Stephanie, are you there? I'm looking, I see something green. Might be you.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Can you see me?
Oh, yes, we can. Absolutely. Go ahead. Yeah, there you are. That was actually Eric who was green. So go ahead.
Oh. I'm always green.
Clearly. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Great. Well, good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. I want to thank you, Commissioner Don Carlos, for those comments, because I think it is important to remember the impact of community. And that's why I want to share why the Healthy Port Communities Coalition was very excited to support the Port Mega Grant project. One of the things that I think the Port did very well here was engaging the Port Coalition early on in the process. So I know that grants like these often have a really tight turnaround, but Trey Campbell reached out to us early enough so that we could evaluate the proposal. We could meet with him and as well as Bridget and really discuss what the community impact could be of this project and really decide, you know, how it best aligned with our goals and values. And we were very pleased to be able to support this project. I think there's a lot of good that can come from it, including environmental benefits and including economic justice benefits for communities that have been impacted. So I just want to say thank you all for your hard work on this. You know, when you engage communities, it's best to do it early and often. I think this is an example of a time where that has happened. And so thank you. And I also want to thank you, Mr. Gunther, because, you know, as Elu mentioned, we have been attempting to contact Army Corps of Engineers. There were a number of questions that went unanswered at that community meeting. And so your support in making those connections will be very helpful for us to get the answers that we need. Thank you all.
Great, thank you. Commissioners? Okay, I think that that concludes our public comment. So let's go ahead and then move on to our executive staff report. Our executive items under the agenda. Tom's going to get
Tom set the one item.
Yeah, there's one item, and it is to impose an additional 15% penalty pursuant to Texas Code 33.07 for the 21 property taxes. Harris County Tax Assessor Collector is the one that collects our taxes for us, and this is something that has gone through Harris County. Harris County Health, Harris County Flood, Harris County Education, as well as the county itself, are all putting this into effect. So we follow their guidance when this kind of things come up. So we're just asking you to approve it so that we can tell Harris County that they can.
The standard statutory fee that we have to pass so the tax lawyers get paid when they collect.
Correct.
Need a motion?
I do.
So moved.
Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we have nothing on business equity this month. Commercial, John, you're going to take us through these. Thank you.
Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We've got five items for your approval on behalf of the Port's Commercial Division. But I want to just take a moment and thank Commissioners Corey and Commissioners Fitzgerald for joining us last week in New York. I think, if anything, really highlights the importance of communication with our stakeholders, including our customers. So thank you. Thank you for joining us last week. I wanted to share with you a little bit of some of the developments behind some of the growth that has been mentioned this morning. Last month, I reported that there were 4 mega industrial parks under construction in our region. This last month, there were 3 added to that. There are now 7 industrial mega projects that are being constructed. Interchange 249 is going to add 3 million square feet of distribution, slated for completion in first quarter of 2023. There is Portside Logistics Center, which is another million square feet of distribution space in Baytown, which is going to start construction in the third quarter of this year and expected to be completed in Q4 of 2023. And Baytown is the third addition just last month. Baytown 10 Commerce Center, again in Baytown, 3 million square feet, projected for completion in Q1 of next year in 2023. Combined, these 7 mega industrial parks total 13 million square feet, with a combined potential of driving 260,000 TEUs of new incremental containers across our docks and creating
at least 4,000 new good-paying jobs in our region. So I want to thank Shane Williams, Rena Lawrence for leading the port's economic development efforts in close coordination and cooperation with local, county, and state economic development offices in our area. I just want to share that with you. And then regarding general cargo, according to Baker Hughes, rig count in Texas is at 357 rigs operating in Texas as of last week. That's 11 more than I reported to you last month. That's 143 more rigs than there were a year ago at this time. And as I've stated before, strong drilling activity increases demand for oil country tubular goods, or OCTG, which is basically the steel pipe that's crossing the public docks here at the terminal. So that's great development in terms of the business and the growth that we're seeing coming to fruition these days. Lastly, I want to thank Ms. Nasser at EDF for her comments. We're actively working and engaging with our attendants to align around the port's goals and objectives, and certainly we'll take her comments into consideration. If there aren't any other questions, I'd like to shift directly to the requests that I have here for you today.
I have one, Mr. Chairman. You mentioned the Baytown 10 Park, Park 10.
Baytown 10 Commerce Center, yes, sir.
Yeah, is that inside the 99?
No, it's on 99.
It's up just a little east of 149 off of the corridor, yeah.
All right, it's not inside the other property.
No, sir.
Okay, thank you.
That whole region, just in general. Which,
in addition to what you're
addition, yeah. All good.
All right, well, moving on to the, if there aren't any other questions, moving on to the five items that I have in front of you today. H1 is essentially a new lease for an existing tenant located on the site since 1982. We just updated the lease terms and conditions to reflect changes in our terms and conditions. H2, 3, and 4 are amendments to existing leases. And I'd like to draw your attention to the last request, item H5. It's essentially a request to extend three leases with Cooper Portion America here at the Turning Basin. What makes this request different than the others is that they're basically month-to-month leases that, which according to the Texas Water Code, Water Code requires the Port Commission to approve to extend because they've basically been in force for 12 months, 12 continuous months now. So despite these leases going into the 13th month, and despite the opportunity for the tenant to move these parcels to term leases, the tenant has offered to continue paying the premium and keep the leases on a month-to-month basis. So with that, I'd like to request your approval for H1 through H5, unless you have any questions.
So moved. Any questions or comments, commissioners?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
What is the reason the user wants only a month-to-month for 3 months?
You know,
about a year.
Yeah, well, honestly, it's to mitigate risk. I mean, typically, a lot of folks will just take month-to-month. Just they don't want to make that long-term commitment, but at the same time, it allows us to continue marketing the parcel. So it is open in the market. Just the tenant has a combination of both long-term leases and a to hang on to a couple of month-to-month just for the ebb and flow.
So it was strictly their desire?
It's their desire.
Okay.
You know, we offer them the opportunity, but, you know, sometimes they just opt to take it on.
Okay.
And you're getting a premium for the month-to-month?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Roughly about 10%, generally somewhere around there.
Okay. So there's an incentive to go long-term.
Yeah.
But they're willing to pay that premium to have the flexibility of month-to-month.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And while we're generating that extra income, we actually prefer long-term.
Sure.
Give us a little more.
Right.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, commissioners? If not, all in favor say aye on H1 through H5.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Okay. Okay. Mr. Finley, I think you're up.
Good morning. Item I-1 on the agenda this morning, I believe, begins with opening a public hearing.
Correct.
Associated with the changes proposed to the plan amendment.
Eric, do you want to see how do we do that?
Go ahead.
We're opening up the public meeting to discuss the pension plan and defined contribution plan.
Excellent. Thank you.
Anybody have any comments or questions?
Okay, good. Go ahead. Keep it open while we have a discussion.
Exactly. Thank you, Chairman. All right. Before you today, there are several amendments to the Port Houston Authority Restated Retirement Plan, the Defined Benefit Plan, as we refer to it. Most tangible is an amendment which will provide for a voluntary payment to voluntary lump sum payment to participants who are vested in the plan but no longer employed by the Port Authority and are not yet receiving benefits. Okay, so that's the population that's important. Let me say it again. These are vested participants in the plan. They're separated from the Port Authority, and they are not yet receiving benefits under the plan. Total population of this is about 170 participants today that we're talking about. The window to volunteer to participate in this would open on August 1 and reopen for 6 weeks to mid-September to accept or participate in that payout. It's commonly referred to as a de-risking move for these trust plans. It removes some element of risk from the plan itself in terms of what the asset's going to do, what the liability is going to do. It certainly tangibly takes away some administrative burden, as you can tell, from about 170 participants in the plan. So it's a common move in the industry when you are as well funded as we are in the pension plan today. It should reduce the liability depending on the take rate. In other words, how many of the 170 take it? It should reduce the liability up to around $11 million today from where we are. In addition to that action, there are three other amendments proposed. One will raise the ceiling under which a vested participant upon separation could elect to receive a lump sum payout. Today, that's $5,000 and less. But as we take care of this population that's no longer with the Port Authority, now you have higher balances. So when someone leaves, it's again voluntary up to $100,000 we could offer to pay you out as opposed to continuing to consider in the plan and manage that effectively. So it raises that ceiling from $5,000 up to $100,000. After this action, there'll be about 27 people that that would apply to potentially in the future, just so you understand the context of it.
So, Tim, these people will get a lump sum and an annuity?
No, ma'am, just a lump sum.
Okay.
At present value of their accrued benefit.
Okay.
That's right. Lastly, there are two other administrative amendments. One is clarifying the definition within the plan, and the other is to adjust the age and dates related to required minimum distributions, RMDs, to align with the Secure Act that was passed, I believe, in 2020, Eric, if I'm correct. So those are largely administrative. The biggest one, of course, being the first one, which is approving the lump sum payout for these no longer with the Port Authority.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Any other questions or comments?
Well, I've been to say that, you know, I've looked at this real hard. I'm on the committee, Cloud Nine, and the key words in the whole thing is voluntary.
Right? Yeah, right.
Nobody has to do this. So that satisfies me.
Yeah, it's a benefit to them. They'll do it. If not, they won't.
Right. It will save the port money, so or the pension fund. So I think it's a good thing.
Great. Any other questions? Close it after the vote.
Close it and have a vote.
Let's go close the. We're going to close the pension hearing and have a vote. So, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I think the reason we have a hearing is because this was enacted before the open meeting.
So. Okay.
No.
Got it. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Rich, I think you're back up.
Good morning for the second time. I think I had my prepared remarks about the grant, so I'll just go right to the agenda items. There are 15 items, 13 of which represent $28.5 million in authorization requests. These include 7 professional services and design contracts, 4 construction-related, 2 dredging-related, and 2 licenses. So
I'll point out a few. Item three is an award to Jerdon Enterprises for the construction of 10 bathrooms at various locations in the Southern Basin. These will be very much welcome facilities. This will be substantially replace and upgrade facilities being used by the waterfront labor force. Jerdon is a qualified small business, and their work is about 38% of the contract value. There is another minority small business, ABC Electrical, which has about 8% of the contract value. The remaining 52% is actually the cost of the materials. So that's done by a large manufacturer. Item nine is a professional services award to GHB Inc., who have been assisting us for a while now to support our asset management capabilities, which, as you've probably heard over the years, we've been focusing on developing our asset management maturity over the years. And that includes things like strategic programs like FECAP and our project development process, our GIS capabilities, our risk management framework, and so forth. So this is additional support. You can either buy or build these services, and we're going to go to the market to get the expertise that we need. Item 10 is a change order to our Wharf 6 project being constructed by McCarthy, which is about a $95 million project to begin with. This change order is for $4.9 million. And it's for additional crews and equipment to accelerate the delivery of Wharf 6 by 3 months. That's a very important 3 months because Bayport is wharf constrained. We have yard. We need to match that yard capacity with wharf capacity. So the sooner we bring that online, the sooner that we can address our customers' needs. And I'm sure Jeff will say a little bit more about that. And it will also help us sync up our readiness to receive the cranes that are on order and coming our way. Then finally, two dredging-related contracts. Item 12 increases the funding available under our MOA with the Army Corps to piggyback off their main channel contract so that we can get dredging done at our private berths. We're topping up that account by $4 million so that we have the funds available when we need, and we need them basically this week. So it's a good thing to put that money in the pot. And then we also have a funding request to support our share of a pipeline removal at Barber's Cut and an associated shoreline protection project that the same pipeline removal company will do. And the shoreline protection piece is part of Project 11.
A motion?
So moved.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
I have a question.
Okay.
And number three, how many restrooms are you fixing? I mean, I'm sure it's a ton, but $3 million, they always have a big number for restrooms. So give me some breakdown on that.
Wharf 8 and Wharf 32 and then most of the transit ships. So I think there's about 10 or so.
I think there's 10 total restrooms, and they were.
It's needed.
They're all at least 40 or 50 years old.
Yeah.
It's replacement, total replacement, right?
Total replacement.
And there will be
pretty bad pipe
building
in that corner.
There'll be ladies' restrooms as well.
Yeah. And they're very sturdily built, which is
And I have another question on 10 or comment, not a question. I don't like to support $5 and $6 million change orders. But in this case, it's totally different. We're trying to get this thing moving forward, and we need the time. We go out for bids, it's just going to take too long. We need the time. So I'm going to support it because of the need for it. But I don't agree that we make a habit of those kind of change orders. But this is a little bit different situation, and I can support it.
Well, go ahead with two observations. One, again, on 10, in light of our current situation, I would like us to consider, I know that we can, I guess, for want of a better word to say it, put carrots in contracts for early, for accelerated completion. I think at this point in our history, we may want to look at those. I realize upfront it's going to be more money, but I think incentivizing completion of a lot of these projects that we desperately need would not be a bad idea right now. And the second, on item four, in light of what we saw was happening in Chambers County regarding refrigerated storage, I hope that we really emphasize the infrastructure we're going to need for what I think is going to be a big segment of our business coming on board, and that's refrigerated cargo. So I like to see that. I hope that, I'm assuming that we are figuring in a lot of what we do in the new wharves and everything, reefer connections. I know it takes a lot of electricity, and I've already had in sideline discussions with CenterPoint about perhaps they need to sit down with y'all just for a session on our future power needs. I know that they off and on have talked with y'all about the strategic plan and everything, but I was having a discussion with Paul Locke at CenterPoint last week, and he said they would really like to sit down and just have a planning session with y'all on power needs, particularly in light of the refrigerated storage that's coming, and such as that. I think they've got a pretty good handle on it through discussions with y'all. I know they work closely with you, but perhaps you may want to consider just to sit down and go over the strategic plan with them.
Yeah, and I think we
actually have already met with them, and we have a group of them. I was trying to see what date. I can't find it. But within the next couple, 3 weeks, they're actually coming out. We're taking them on a tour of Barber Airport,
right,
showing them what we have, explaining the number of cranes we're going to be getting, all of that. So we're already, not the gentleman you spoke of, but other people within the organization.
And you know, included in our accelerated development, you know, we'll be evaluating opportunities for, you know, reefer racks and other different types of storage capacities as that volume grows. And the other thing, I'll just say, I agree, you know, incentivized contracts are something that we need to look at more. You know, given the time, you know, I'll just say, and I don't know if it's 100% true, but I'm pretty sure that if we would have known now, 2 years ago, what we know now, we would have accelerated this time. You know, we would have had that incentive.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving forward, we learned a lesson, and I agree with you. So
I had the same question about the change order. It's been answered satisfactorily. I was wondering on item three, with a $3.8 million contract, how we only got one proposal.
So that's a good question. We had that conversation with our procurement and business equity groups, and the sometimes this happens, and sometimes it's a mystery as to why a set of companies will tell you that they're interested in their bidding, and then they don't present a proposal. These days, construction companies are extremely busy. In fact, some of them are too busy to write proposals. And so that was part of the reason. You know, we did consider going back out and rebidding this thing, but given the importance to our labor workforce, we decided to go ahead with this. This is a proven contractor who's worked with us before, so we had that conversation. Lessons learned. We've got a couple of projects coming up later on this year that are on that CIP attainment list, and we do not want to have one bid or two bids. We want to have a satisfactory amount. So we're already having proactive discussions to make sure that we engage the vendors, in particular, say the Barber's Cut Maintenance Building. That's an unusual project for us, so we're going to double down on making sure that we engage the market.
Can you see the 23 people that downloaded it? Like, I noticed on a lot of these, and going through all the competitive field bids, you might have, you know, more than 10 downloads. Can you see who downloads it, which companies are now?
We do, yeah. And then the procurement department does outreach. And when they see that many, you know, they do verify, are you going to bid or not, and that type of thing. But sometimes it just turns out the way this one happened. So,
yeah, Rich, are we doing, or I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You know, the feedback has been about why they download it and don't bid?
I would defer to our...
We get mostly the same answer over and over. You know, too busy, didn't mesh. Just because they download it, people will go in and put every code that they can possibly do, and so they'll just download stuff and then I can't do that. But it's mostly what Rich said when we reach out to these groups after the fact, that they're too busy, they didn't have time to do it, they, you know, things like that.
How many restrooms does this entail?
About 10.
How many?
I think 10.
10?
Maybe 11. I'm not quite sure. And by the way, the reefer plugs on that other item, we earn through our grants program. And so we're utilizing some of those for this project. And the reefer business is very exciting. I think that's a good segue to hand over to Jeff.
Maybe you need another term for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so before Jeff gets going, do we have a motion, and we're now in questions on items 1 through 13, 15, I'm sorry.
And I'm recusing on page 14.
Okay, and you got that, Eric?
Yes.
Okay, good. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you.
Yep. And it's 11 restrooms, and then the clerk's office at City Dock 32, which also is.
Yep.
Good morning once again. A few operational highlights. You know, Commissioner Fitzgerald said that the Ocean Care is told them when Trinity Project 11, they're going to bring it to us. Yeah. I'm here to attest to bringing it all in. April, we set the record for container TEUs and records at 334,493. As Roger mentioned, we're up 21% in total TEUs. Loads are up 16%, and that's what the rubber meets the road for us. We've received notice about a new service that's about to start, a north-south service from the Caribbean and South America. And that will bring the total to 26 regular services calling DCT and Bayport. And on top of that, as I mentioned, when the large shipment that Roger mentioned as well, our record, it was an extra loader, meaning it wasn't part of these regular weekly services, but MSC thought there was enough freight in Asia to dispatch an extra ship. So pick up 4,500 loads and bring them to us, and we loaded back the balance of that.
What was our record before 26?
It was in the 6,000. Yeah. I don't have the number handy, but I think it was 6,800, something like that. This one just walloped the old record. But it's foretelling the things to come. I have no doubt about that. But we continue to see import loads outpacing exports. About 60% of the loads are import versus 40% exports. Although exports have picked up in the last couple of months, and we almost reached the 2019 high for exports because exports kind of subsided in 2019 pre-pandemic, and imports have overshadowed exports in our region, and now it looks like exports are starting to rebound some in that area. Even though we're setting records, they're largely on the back of our imports. General cargo business continues to do well, although this is the first week since last October. You could look down that dock and see some open berths. We've got about we've had anywhere from 15 to 20 ships daily here at the general cargo facilities, and we're doing six today. Container ships continue to have a few ships at the buoys. We've had 8 to 10 ships every day over the last month, and we've had ships queued at the buoy waiting to get to berth to work since last August. Our three new cranes at Bayport, significant to try to knock that queue down. They will become operational tomorrow. Paulo keeps the this week. I see he won't let me take it down on tomorrow. He continues to. But hey, Paulo had a great outreach with the ILA last week. He trained 61. He and BPNC trained our staff as well as the vendor trained 61 operators on the new cranes. They're similar to existing cranes, but. Certainly larger and some nuances that are different. So that was a good effort getting folks ready with those new cranes. We're anxiously awaiting that. Roger already talked about the 8,000 move ship. One thing about that ship is very significant. It did 35 moves an hour per crane. Our average is about 30 moves an hour. So it was very very significant. The size of the ship, the cranes that we put on it, the volume, and certainly the productivity. Kudos to the ILA. The operators did a good job on that ship, obviously, Commissioner Fitzgerald. And last item, we're still planning to open the Saturday gate in a week and a half. So the gate for both container facilities will be open for business on Saturday, and we continue to market and push for folks to participate in that. So we're a week and a half away from that. There are no questions about the business. I'll move on to the agenda, K1 to K6. First one is approved staff's, I'll bring attention to K1, approved staff's ranking of vendors and award a 3-year contract for janitorial services at Barber Scott Baseball. This was a 2-year, we've been doing this on 2-year increments. We got a little better price for doing 3 years. We're awarding to the incumbent. These folks did an excellent job during the pandemic of stepping up, and we had to do sanitization, sanitize areas and things of that nature. They really responded well. K4 is authorized payment to Natus LLC for annual maintenance services. This is our piece of software that manages our business, period. It knows every ship that's coming. It knows every ship that's been here. It knows the tonnage. It knows old releases. It is really the 3 C's that make our container terminals go are cranes, concrete, and computer systems, and this is the brains of the operation. We've been in business with Natus since 2001. And K5 is for SmartTech, annual maintenance services for the gate operating system. And that's when we do 14,000 transactions a day like we've done on some peak days. This is the interface from our staff to the truck driver in the lane that provides cameras and software and audio opportunities to speak with the truck drivers and understand what their moves are about. So very, very important piece. So I present K1 through K6 for your consideration.
We approve. Second. Any questions, comments?
I just had a question, yes, again, or a comment. Yeah, I'm looking at two. Looks like we had one bid, and 3, 4, 5, and 6, there were no bids. We just awarded them. Is that correct?
Well, 3 is a co-op, so we bought it through a co-op. Okay. 4 and 5 are software licenses which you have to buy from those companies. So that's why those are like that.
We have Texas is reworking something that's already been awarded.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, all in favor of K1 through 6, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We don't have anything in people this week or this month, so Mr. Marcus Woodring, go ahead.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. It appears I'm on a bi-monthly schedule this year with RCAs coming every other month. I've been here a while. In the interim, we have passed both our ISO 28000 audit. We had 3 minor nonconformances, and those all related to what the program and policy said versus how we were doing in the field. And we need to match those up. Great to have them come through and make sure that when we have procedures, we're following them. Or if we're not following them, we need to change the procedure. The other voluntary standard that we hold is CTPAT. It's a customs trade partnership against terrorism. Another voluntary standard that we meet and hold ourselves accountable to. We just had to do the paperwork to renew that one this year, kind of a self-evaluation, and we're certified again for another year there. I have one item on the agenda today, and that is the extension of 2 contracts, the pre-positioned contracts. One is for emergency services and equipment. The other is with TNT Salvage. The first one's with Garner. And those were awarded back in 2019. We use them on occasion when we have incidents and we need porta potties, we need generators. Garner provided all the stuff during the big freeze that we needed to keep the container terminals running, all those generators and things. Because these are competitively bid in advance of a disaster or an event, they are potentially reimbursable by FEMA. And we have to jump through that hoop before we can potentially get the reimbursement. We used Garner quite a bit during that big freeze, as I said. We have not yet used the TNT Marine contract. We have not had a salvage situation, but they're on standby for us. And we're requesting to extend extend the contracts for another 2 years. The original contract was for 3 years with the option to extend for two. I'm here today to ask your permission to extend the contracts through 2024.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Any questions or comments?
Just a comment about how this works. We only do, what, a $50,000 PO for each of them, knowing that everything's an emergency. We have no idea what it's going to cost, so we don't want to take money out of our available funds by putting out two huge purchase orders. So if something happens and it goes beyond 50, we bring the dollars back to you. This is more the timeline of the contract more than the dollars.
We don't spend any money unless
we, use it.
All right.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And motion is approved. Okay, we have no items on technology, and we have, I think, we do have an executive session.
Mr. Chairman, before we go,
yes.
I never miss this opportunity, but we got Captain Thompson today. And he hasn't been here in a few meetings, so I just want him to know how much we appreciate the way the pilots are working, helping us all get these ships in and out.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, I am going to take off item Q1 from the agenda, which in the executive session, which is the consultation regarding claims. I'm sorry. Is that Q1 I'm taking off? Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Number two.
No, it's number one.
It's after the executive.
It's number two. Sorry.
After
the executive. Sorry about that.
Sorry. Yeah.
I'm going to take that off once we get after that. I thought I had to do before. So we're going to go executive session. So Eric, go ahead and.
Happy to do so.
It's now 10:27 a.m. The Court Commission of the Court Eastern Authority of Harris County, Texas, will now convene to close. The meeting is permitted by Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code to conduct a private consultation with attorneys, including a consultation with private claim, Court Authority against felony limited, deliberate regarding real estate, including deliberation regarding life, and the claims institutional land property, economic development negotiations over employment evaluation of public employees.
Oh, yeah, Peter, you're right.
The Court Commission will reconvene in this session after the closed meeting.
We are now back in regular session for the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority. It is 10:42. So do we have anything that came out of Mr. Clunan? I think you have something.
Yes. I move to authorize the Port Authority to settle its claims against Felonies Limited on the terms discussed in executive session and authorize the Executive Director to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. I did pull item Q1 off the agenda, and we'll deal with that later. And so that being said, there are no other items on our agenda. The only thing just to remind folks is that our next scheduled Board Commission meeting is on June 28th. If we need a commission meeting between now and then, because of Project 11, we will be calling one. So just in the category of, if you hear it, you've heard it now twice from me. So with that, thank you, and have a good summer. I don't think we have to yet. It just depends on where the contract negotiations fall. We'd rather not lose a couple of weeks if we happen to get it done early, right? But it's not dates yet. So once we get it figured out, we'll let you know.
We'll be out of town for a couple of weeks. I could do it virtually, though, right?
We can. We just have to have a quorum local, and then we can do it virtually as long as we have four commissioners here. Okay.
Exactly.
So with that said, we're adjourned. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.